The scripture this morning is Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' Said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God.
Before the sermon, I have another reading. You're aware of the famous "I Have a Dream" sermon speech by Martin Luther King. John Kennedy heard that saw that on the television in his office. And when King finished, he turned off the television set and said, "He's good." Oh, he was marvelous. And one other sermon speech he gave was associated with the March on Selma. Maybe some of you saw the movie Selma. And I have a brief excerpt from that speech as a second reading today. These are the words of King. "Last Sunday, more than 8,000 of us started on a mighty walk from Selma, Alabama. We have walked through desolate valleys and across trying hills. We have walked on meandering highways and rested our bodies on rocky byways. Some of our faces are burned from the outpourings of the sweltering sun. Some have literally slept in the mud. We have been drenched by the rains. Our bodies are tired and our feet are somewhat sore. The battle is in our hands, and we can answer with creative nonviolence, the call to a higher ground to which the new directions of our struggle summons us. The road ahead is not altogether a smooth one. There are no broad highways that lead us easily and inevitably to quick solutions, but we must keep going. I know you are asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, darken their understanding, and drive the bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne? Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets of Selma and Birmingham and communities all over the South be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men? Somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night, plucked from weary souls with chains of fear and the manacles of death? How long will justice be crucified and truth bear it? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, it will not be long. Because truth crushed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long. Because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. because you shall reap what you sow. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Let us pray. Oh God, be in our minds and hearts to hear and respond to your living word as it comes to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We had read and seen on the overhead the story this morning of the short little parable of Jesus, which goes by many titles. We can call it the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. 8 verses, short parable. If it were a melodrama, a vaudeville melodrama, it would look something like this. Onto the stage would come a judge. He would be dressed as the villains are always dressed in a melodrama, totally in black, with a white shirt, a black tie, a black hat, and a curling mustache. And as he made his way on the stage, if this is a vaudeville melodrama, the crowd, the audience, would know exactly what to do as soon as he entered the stage. And they would begin, boo, hiss. If they had a rotten tomato, maybe they would throw at the villain. And then following the villain would come the widow. And there would be great applause. Because now we have in front of us good and evil. The widow would not have a look of fear in her face, rather determination. She would be relatively plainly dressed. Now the judge in this story is described as a bad person. Jesus says of him that he had no fear of God and no respect for persons. When the Bible uses that word fear, it means honor, submission, praise, adoration. The word fear means to give God all that we have to give in terms of bowing the knee and showing that we honor God's great and marvelous love and power. The judge did not care at all about God. Jesus also describes him in this way. He had no respect for persons. Well, in the Bible it says that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, will, and we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the judge is not interested in either one, which leaves only one thing remaining. He was looking out for number one. And in his position as judge, he would be able to do that very well. He would be able to line his pockets with bribes and kickbacks. He's in a position to take care of number one. The widow, on the other hand, the other character in this story, is seen as someone who is vulnerable. That's what a widow was in biblical days. A widow was a vulnerable person. Unless she had a husband or sons or brothers-in-law, if she were without male help, and many were, then she was vulnerable, especially to a judge like the one that's given to us in this story. But she knows her Bible, and she knows that the Bible says in the law these words: cursed be anyone who deprives an alien, an orphan, or a widow of their justice. And so she knows that she's in the right. And this word from Deuteronomy about depriving aliens, orphans, and widows isn't just in one verse of the book of Deuteronomy. It's all through the law, and it's all through the writings, and it's all through the prophets. It's a major thread of God's word that comes to us through Scripture. And what it says to us here in so many places is this: God's people are to take care of each other. That's why we're given the covenant community. Our purpose, our call, and our task is to love God and to take care of each other. But especially the alien, the orphan, and the widow. For they are the vulnerable ones that you must make sure that nobody deprives them or abuses them or takes advantage of them. Which is exactly what the judge had done. We don't know what the issue was, but we know that she was deprived, whether it was vineyards or houses or lands or whatever it was. She was low-hanging fruit to a powerful judge, a weak widow. All he had to do was just disregard her cause altogether, give it to somebody else, take the kickback. Low-hanging fruit. Oh, how easy it is to take advantage of a woman like this. What she has going for her is that she knows her Bible, and she knows that this is not God's plan, call, and purpose. She can't go into the courtroom. Women would not be allowed there. So she does the only thing that's left available to her. She stalks the judge. And the judge comes out of his chambers, and he's headed for work, and he's going to his office, and here's the widow right behind him. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? I said, give me justice. And on Sunday morning, the judge goes to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. And there's the widow. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? Have you read your Bible? And on Sunday afternoon, he decides to play a round of golf, and he walks out of the house with his golf clubs. There's the widow right behind him. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? I don't know how many times she does that. Days, weeks. But finally, the judge says to himself, I can't take this anymore. She's going to drive me crazy. What am I going to do? And so he gives her justice. Jesus, having told that story, then turns to the disciples and he says, this is a promise of God. And he uses a how much more. You see this in the Bible every once in a while. How much more? And Jesus says, if a widow can make a bad man like this judge give justice, how much more will our loving God quickly come to help those who cry to him day and night? It's a promise. It's a promise of God that those who cry out to God day and night, God will hear and quickly bring goodness and blessing and love and grace and help. How long? Not long. God will act, and act quickly, Jesus says. But, you know, I lost my note here. How much more? I got that. All right. We believe this because we pray it every time we come to church. We've prayed it already today. You've said it. Thy kingdom come. Where? Right here on earth. Right here. We pray it every Sunday. And we don't lose heart. Jesus gives this parable, you see, so that the disciples and the followers would not lose heart. That's the problem. The problem is that we come into our difficulties and it looks so hard, it looks so difficult, the night looks so black that we lose heart. But Jesus says, don't lose heart. Don't give up. When you come to that intersection in the road, on one way we can go, it says, abandon hope. All is lost. Nothing good can come. We can go that way. Or there's another sign. It says, clothe yourselves in God's Spirit in prayer. God is waiting for you. This way. Thy kingdom come. We pray it every Sunday. Every Sunday. And we don't stop. Thy kingdom come until every sick person is made well. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come until every person who is hungry is fed. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come until the swords of destruction are beat into the plowshares of peace and safety and abundance. Thy kingdom come. We keep praying it. That God will bring justice and peace and love and mercy on this earth to us and to one another. This parable in the Gospel of Luke, if you had started at the very beginning to read the book, you would have met Anna. Anna was a widow. After 7 years of marriage, her husband dies. And then for the rest of her life until she's 84 years old. Now that's got to be at least 50, 60 years. For 60 years, we find Anna in the temple. 60 years. And Luke says of her that night and day with fasting, she never stops praying. Because God promised a Messiah. And Anna believed in God's promise. If God promised, it will happen. And for 60 years, she doesn't give up. She doesn't lose heart. Night and day, she prays for the coming of God's blessing. This kind of prayer, of course, is work as well as prayer. We don't separate the two. the widow, she did what she could, and then she prayed as well. It's like breathing in and breathing out. We do both. And we believe that God's promise will come true. I love the story about Mother Teresa. She died a few years ago. Almost everyone knows who she was. Marvelous, marvelous saint. I heard her speak one time, and she walked right past me, smiled at me. Oh, boy, did I feel a blessing. Mother Teresa smiled at me. It was a great moment in my life. It's said of her that she would sometimes go to donors and ask for financial help. Often she got it pretty quickly because she was Mother Teresa. But not always. Sometimes she went to someone like, you know, like the judge here who had a cold heart. And she would make her plea and ask for a gift. And he would say, I'm sorry, but I'm all given out. I'm giving everything that I'm going to give to you. I can't give to you. And it said of Mother Teresa that she would then say, let us pray. And he would bow his head, she would bow her head, and she would give a prayer. And as soon as the prayer was over, she would ask again for the money. And when he said no, she would say, let us pray. And she would pray a second time. Until finally, she would wear him out. And he would start looking for his fountain pen and his checkbook. Never lose heart. Never give up. Never say enough until God in your life shows up. Now, it probably won't be like you want it. Now, we have this idea, when God shows up, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Not necessarily. God shows up with surprises. And in ways that we would never imagine or maybe never understand. And when God shows up, God doesn't give the help we need in a bundle and say, here's all the help you need for the next year or the next month or the next week. God rarely will do that. But God does. God shows up and gives us just enough of what we need for today. Just for today. But tomorrow, God will be there again, offering the gift, the strength, the help of those who cry night and day for his love and mercy. I have more that I was going to say, but you know what? I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to wear you out. But I want you to go home today with a promise in your heart that you won't let go of. God has promised. God has promised. How much more is God wanting to offer and to give? How much more? As we open our lives to the miracle, it will happen. God has promised. How long? Not long. Let us pray. God, thank you for your promises that we are your children. We are created by you and loved by you. We are the apple of your eye. We are persons for whom Christ died. And you love each of us and all of us with a magnificent and eternal love and grace. So today, open us again. Open us to the miracle and the wonder and the beauty of your promises of grace and love that are ours as we open ourselves in prayer and love to you and to one another. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.